Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson, which has been read, and the title for our meditation is just one word, justified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, there are certain sayings you just need to be familiar with in being a Lutheran Christian. I want to give you one today. We are justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake. I'll drive by again. Pay attention. We are justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake. We are justified, that is, we are declared not guilty, innocent, righteous. We are judged to be just. What did we do? Nothing. It's a gift. That's the grace part. So then, how do we apprehend or lay hold of this gift? Well, you trust the promise. It's faith. How is this all accomplished? Through the work of Christ. We are justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake. Can we practice? Would you say that with me? We are justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake. This probably isn't new to you. I hope it's not new to you. Because that teaching is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. That must be pretty important then. And I think it's safe to assume that if the doctrine of justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake is the doctrine that the church stands or falls on, then I bet it is central, foundational to our lives too. Friends, I am here today to tell you that how we are judged is the center of our lives. We are all driven by the desire to be judged just, right. Because in being judged just and right, we have our sense of worthiness, of well-being. And here's the thing. We undergo hundreds of courtroom cases every day. Every day, we are being judged or sized up. I just need some child here in this church to testify. You go to school and you are judged by your performance, right? A, B, C, D, or F. You are judged by what activities you participate in, by who your friends are. And then you grow up, and it's pretty much the same thing. You are judged by your performance at work, how much money you make, how you keep your lawn, how you raise your kids. Constantly, in every encounter, we are continually being sized up and judged, and we want desperately to be judged right. Does that make sense? I'm looking just for maybe a little Lutheran nod right there. Okay. Well, so here's the deal. If we're continually in the courtroom, then our tactic is to continually justify ourselves. Before other people, before God, before ourselves, we are continually making our case. And so we're pointing out the good, and we know it. I don't have to think twice. I can tell you about all the things that I've done this last week, all of the things that I've sacrificed, all the things that I gave up for somebody else. I can tell you. I know you can tell yours too. And then those things that we aren't as proud of, well, we can account for those also. The author Rudyard Kipling put it this way. He said, "I never made a mistake in my life. At least, never one that I couldn't explain away afterward." And it's true. I can explain, you can explain why what we did was okay and permissible this time. Here's the other one. If we want to justify ourselves, if we want to feel decently or good about ourselves, then one of the best tactics is to compare ourselves to somebody else. You feeling kind of low today? All you got to do is find one person in this room who's a little lower. And you size yourself up in comparison. At least I know how to manage my money. My brother, he was here last week, so I can say that about him. Or at least my child kind of has his act together. You've got your "at least I'm not like" somewhere. And I'm telling you, we're good at this. We're practiced. If they gave out academic degrees for self-justification, we would all be PhDs. That's our tactic. We so want to be right that we will justify ourselves. So, Jesus tells us a story. And I want to tell the story again, and I want to change it a little bit because I think sometimes something gets lost in translation. Jesus talks about a Pharisee and a tax collector, and we're thinking Pharisees, those are the guys that killed Jesus, and tax collector, what's the big deal about the IRS, right? Two men came to church one day. One was a district president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is a man who successfully took the helm of several congregations. He has led his district to be financially solvent. He has brought a great deal of unity among the churches. He is responsible for creating orphanages. And he comes to church. He's wearing a collar like this. And he stands up front. He knows exactly the right times to cross himself. And he knows enough to thank God. He knows it's a gift from God, and so he thanks God for all the good things that he has been able to accomplish. And he can't help but sort of feel bad for those folks who just don't know any better and who aren't the same. That's one man. Jesus says there's another man. He is a drug dealer, and he's standing in the back of the church. He's got gold chains on. He reeks of cologne. And this is a man who has intentionally sought out children to give drugs so that he can hook them and exploit them. And he's standing in the back, and he's pacing back and forth, and he won't look up, and he doesn't even know how to pray. And he just says, "God, I have messed up." Maybe he doesn't even use those words. And then he says, "You gotta help me. Have mercy." And here's Jesus' claim. It's the guy in the back. It's the drug dealer that goes out, and God says, "Yep, he's just. He's worthy. He's right." Now, don't let familiarity with this story breed boredom. Jesus' claim here is bold. the one who pointed out all of the good things that were good, God's just not impressed. The one who points out his sinfulness, he's the one who is judged righteous. Friends, this is the one piece of revelation that changes everything. You know what this means? We are finally free from justifying ourselves. You know why? Because God has justified us by grace, through faith, for Christ's sake. You know, Jesus is such a good storyteller. Jesus is so good at telling stories. Just the setting of his stories communicates so much. So we're told today that the Pharisee and the tax collector came to pray at the temple. This tells us that this was likely at the time of the giving of incense, either in the morning or the evening. You know what else happens there during the incense, in the morning or the evening? The sacrifice. There at the temple, a priest sacrifices an animal for the sins of the people. That's the work that justifies, that sets people right with God. And in that context, you've got the Pharisee who's not pointing to the sacrifice, he's pointing to himself. But then you've got the tax collector who knows there at the temple, there with the sacrifice, he has what he needs to dare to come before God and ask him for anything. And you here today know that there's something better than the temple going on. There is a sacrifice better than sheep and goats and bulls. There is a blood that was offered once for all that is all we need to set us right. God sent his own Son to enter into this world, and Jesus was perfect. When he got cut off on the highway, he didn't curse that person out, not even once. When he was flipping through the channels, he didn't stop on that one show when it had something he knew he shouldn't be watching, but he figured, I'll just kind of keep watching just for a little bit longer, and then I'll move on, and then it'll be okay. Not once did Jesus fail. Perfect, innocent, just, righteous. And yet, for us, he was counted guilty, a sinner. Shameful, wrong, and he didn't defend himself. He didn't justify himself, not once. He died. He died a sinful, shameful death on the cross. I mean, you had to look up to see him, but people were looking down. And yet through that, look what Jesus was able to do. He went toe to toe with sin, death. The devil himself and Jesus won. That's impressive. But the story gets even better because Jesus takes everything that he had accomplished, all of that good, all of that righteousness, and he says, it's all yours. It's a gift. You are accountable for all of my goodness because I became accountable for all of your badness. Now, if you are here today and God's charity just doesn't sound good, you don't want a free handout, you would like to be accountable for something, you'd like to point to something that you've done to show your worthiness, okay, fine, but I don't know why you're here. But if you are tired, if you are worn out, and you can't take any more justifying yourself because you know it is an exercise in futility. If you know that you told God, I'm never going to do that again, and here you are, and God, I did it again. If you need mercy, if you are done justifying yourself, then I've got really good news for you. God has done all the justifying you need. And he has done a better job than you could ever do. You're free. You're free. Help your neighbor out. Just tell him you're free. Okay, let's forget. We're Lutherans. Never mind. I'll tell you, you're free. This changes everything. Can I push this a little bit further? This is going to help somebody. Because now we know that we are also free. If I am free from justifying myself, I am also free from the judgment of others. Because God has rendered his verdict, and his verdict is all that matters. I know it's in football season, but can we talk baseball for a minute? Let's pretend there is baseball game, runner on second, batter's up, and he takes a look at the third base coach. It's the sign, sacrifice bunt. He connects, ball grounds. He knows this is an exercise in futility, but he digs it out and he runs to first base. Here's the three sounds he hears. First, the first baseman's got his foot on the bag, glove out. You can hear the ball smack into his glove. Second sound you hear is the base runner pound the first base. Third sound you hear is the umpire who says, safe. Now, everybody knows that he's out. First baseman knows he's out. The fans know he's out. The base runner knows he's out. What does the base runner do? He stays on first base and he plays baseball because the only word that matters is what the umpire says. Beloved, stay in the game. And play your hardest, because the only verdict that matters is what God says about you, and he says, you're safe, you're innocent, you're righteous. No one else is qualified to render any kind of verdict for you. I mean, there are people in our lives that we want to get some feedback from. But really, no one is qualified to render any judgment about our worthiness. Can I prove it to you? Show me somebody who would dare to judge you, and I will show you their school picture. And we will look at the haircut or the outfit and say, really? You thought that was a good idea? According to your judgment, you said, I should put that on today and have it marked for all time. But seriously, I think our track record is proven. We are horrible judges. We have made some poor choices. Why would we ever think that any other person is qualified to judge us at all? We are free. Not only from justifying ourselves, we are free from the judgment of others, because all that matters is what God says. So, friends, if you are done justifying yourselves, you've got a lot of free time now. What are you going to do? There's a lot of people out there who are still under the burden of justifying themselves. Wouldn't that rock their world if it could be revealed to them that they're done? That they are free from the burden of justifying themselves. There is a verdict, and it comes from the God who created all things. It comes from the God who alone renders just judgments, whose judgments are perfect, who is holy. His is the only judgment that matters, and he says, not guilty, innocent, righteous. Wouldn't that just change somebody's day? Or how about this? Maybe there's somebody in your life right now that you're kind of struggling with. Maybe they have done you wrong. And now you can say, well, if God's not going to judge them, I won't either. Or I will put it this way. I will give the judgment to God. I will forgive them. I'll bless them. I'll speak well of that person. In fact, I dare you. I double dog dare you this week to talk good about somebody behind their back. You want to start now? Start today? Here's what you're going to do. When you come up to the communion rail, humbly on your knees if you're able, and you receive that little bit of bread and that little sip of wine, that seemingly humble gift, you and I know that in truth you are given the very body and blood of Christ, and that you are exalted in the presence of God and of angels and of archangels, and there in the presence of God you could talk about those people in your lives who need some sort of freedom. And you can talk to God and say, God, I forgive them, help me forgive them. And Lord, bless that person. I mean, what else are you going to do? Now that we realize that our PhD in self-justification is a waste of time, maybe we could work on a PhD in blessing people. That's the message. We are justified, say it with me, by grace through faith for Christ's sake. It's not just a slogan. It's not some theological abstraction that folks say up in ivory towers using $10,000 words. We are justified by grace through faith for Christ's sake. That is life. It's a good life. It's the best life. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.